This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
So, we just survived a fire drill. Awkward. Hi everyone, you're listening to Thoughts and Theories on ORFM, where I'll delve deeper into the meanings and messages of films, books, TV shows, and more. I'm Asha Amma Asri, and let's get into it. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Thoughts and Theories. As you all know, my name is Asha, and today I am joined by two amazing guests, Megan and Casey. Hi guys.
Hello.
Thank you for having us.
Sorry, if you guys are hearing us giggle, it's because, as you heard, we were, I don't even know what to say, like, we were just recording the start of this episode when suddenly, the fire alarm just goes off, and we're looking at each other like, is this real? Like, and I was like, did I click the wrong button on here or something? I didn't know we had one of those sound things. You know those like boards you see streamers do?
Yeah, soundboards.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I didn't know we had a soundboard in here. No, it's a real fire.
So this is take two.
Take two. So forgive us a little bit if we sound a little bit breathless or giggly, I suppose. I don't know. It's still fresh. It literally happened like a minute ago. But anyway, enough about that. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
So for those of you who don't know, Megan and Casey are part of a band. And I'm basically just here to ask them some questions because I've never talked to anybody who's been in a band before. And I don't know. Like, I'm just really curious. So first of all, I know you guys are not in a band, just the two of you. You guys have three other people, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes. Could you guys tell me like their names and what they do?
So we got Damien as lead guitarist, you got Jared as keyboard and saxophone, and you got Cam as drummer. I play bass, and Megan sings and lyricist and all that.
Sick. Okay. And how long have you guys been in a band together?
This is our third year?
Yeah, technically.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
so you guys have been together for quite a long time.
Yeah, like we've had like a change up of our lineup has changed just a little bit. So Jared was with us from the beginning, and then he kind of was busy with his own studies because we were originally together as a performance band through uni.
Oh, right. So you guys met through like a paper or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, sick.
We were together and we were called the Coffee Beans.
As you do.
And then
it was a placeholder name.
Yeah. And then different people dropped out of papers, et cetera. Yeah. But then we decided to stay together because we just wanted to be able to play music.
Yeah, that's awesome. So if you guys didn't go with Coffee Bean, what are you guys called now?
Casual Drift.
Yes, like Casual Drift.
That's so cool sounding. It sounds a little bit like, well, maybe because acacia sounds, it sounds cold, like ice.
Ah, you know? Well, acacia's a tree.
Mm.
Yeah.
Isn't, what color is it? Is it orange or is it white?
Orange. Just play Minecraft and you'll figure it out.
We've had one bit of fan art in existence, and it is literally a Minecraft vid of, I think, someone in an acacia like boat.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so fun.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, okay. Do you guys get fan art a lot?
It's the first one. We're open to more.
That's so cute.
We'd love some fan art.
So you guys have been together 3 years, but like what sort of music do you guys make? So I heard lyricist somewhere. So you guys play your own music, you don't do covers?
Yes. Yeah, so we do covers. So we do a mixture of both. More covers and originals at the moment. We've written a few that we feel like we need some reworking before we do them again.
Yeah.
We play a couple now, and we're hoping. We're about to literally start working on one that Casey here has just started for us.
Yeah.
Ooh,
so we do a combo of both.
Right. And what genre is that, would you say? Like rock and roll?
That new song or just...
Everything.
It's like a bit of everything.
Yeah. So you guys do like slow and like fast.
We could probably do all. Yeah, we probably do all of that.
If we wanted to categorize it, maybe like a pop punk rock.
I think just alternative. Yeah, pop punk alternative funk and maybe jazz as well.
Yeah, a lot of jazz. A lot of we do some Judas Priest and there's some Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
Then we've got like Incubus and we've got like Incubus, Pearl Jam.
Yeah. A variety.
Yeah.
That sounds so nice.
Yeah.
Was it like difficult to come up with like what? Like in the beginning, did you guys have like a set genre that you'd go to and it was like difficult to constrain yourselves to that or something? Like what was your journey to getting to where you are now?
Well, I think, to be honest, because when we first started, we were just doing covers as a performance band. And we also had another singer with us at the beginning as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't not limited per se, but we had more of a focus on songs that we could perform well. When we started doing our own stuff, I think we started in the punk rock era.
And then it has slowly expanded. Kind of a bit grungy as well.
That's what I was looking for.
Grungy. Yeah. Wait, I've heard the word grungy be thrown around a lot, like on the internet, but I don't actually know exactly what that is.
It's like, you know, bands like Pearl Jam and Nirvana and like Soundgarden. So it's like it was a scene that took place, a bit of history, popular music history. It's like a scene that took place in the 90s in Seattle, Washington. And all those bands were in that scene. It's just like harder rock music and it's like lyrics are usually about their feelings and like more personal
than what emo rock.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. That makes sense. It's like roar of a sound.
Oh, that's so fun. You know, I really love like hearing about all this because like I said before, I've never talked to anyone in a band. But you guys say that you guys were together for 3 years and hopefully for many more.
I hope so.
But like I understand 5 people is a big group.
Yeah.
How do you guys keep up with like consistency or like rehearsals or that sort of thing, or like how do you stay together?
Stay together, but figuring out rehearsals is
it can be difficult.
It's a mesh.
There is a severe lack of rehearsal spaces in Dunedin.
Okay.
And that's been a big issue in Otapiti for such a long time.
Right.
Having rehearsal spaces availability for those not performing, like for those not in a performance paper. So you know when we were doing the paper together, we could rehearse in the studio rooms at the university, but now we're not allowed to do that. So we're very confined to our rehearsal spaces. So currently, we rehearse in Cam, our drummer's bedroom.
He's
flat.
Cam. We love Cam. Mm-hmm. He is an amazing human who gives up so much of his time. He's in I don't know how many bands.
Like 20 bands, I
swear. Really?
Silly
like that.
Every single
he
band.
He is a legend. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So we currently rock up to his place when he's got like time slots. You have to book time slots for Cam. amazing human, but so we currently we get in there when we can.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a little bit difficult to get some of us all cooperating at the same time. I will say that Casey and I probably do the most talking.
Yeah, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you guys have like positions, like a leader or, you know?
No. Well, I awkwardly become the mouthpiece.
But that's good though. So we kind of rely on that.
Yeah. If I'm honest, when we first got together, we were all a bit quiet and awkward.
Right.
We were very quiet and awkward. So we had another a friend of ours, Olivia, that was in the group, was a bit of our spokesperson originally. I don't like them when there's a leader.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like, especially when we perform, I don't like standing in the middle of the stage singing.
Right.
I really do try and make sure that everybody is seen because I feel like it does tend to look towards the singer a lot more often than not to be the leader. And I really don't like that because I don't want to be a leader all the time.
Yeah, no, fair.
I do tend to take that role in some things of my life.
Right.
But I try, like we all have our thing that we do. You know, everyone takes a hold of things, you know, when they need to.
Yeah. And it's like, as well, like, when you're in a band, it's like a group effort, right? You don't just want...
You're a family.
Yeah.
Well, it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Oh, what's that supposed to mean?
Well, we also fight like a family.
Oh,
we've had our good share of little fights. That's for sure.
Have you guys ever fought over something, like, super silly, like, in hindsight?
Yes.
I don't remember.
Yes, we have. Right.
Megan has a story. You guys can't see. She's got her hands on her hips.
Look, I love Casey here like a little brother. Legitimately, though, like
he sighed like a little brother.
See,
stop embarrassing me.
No, but he does mean a hell of a lot to me. So we do every now and then bicker over little things. We did, I think, our last bicker moment. He didn't like a song that we were. Have played before.
Oh, yeah.
And he really didn't like it, didn't want to play it. But ironically, that was a song that people told us that we should go and perform publicly for.
Oh.
And then when we rehearsed it, it was like, oh, this is the most like put together song we've played. So yeah. Maybe we need to play it.
Yeah. I just don't care anymore. I'll just play it at this point.
He's given in.
Yeah.
And like, Casey, from your perspective, why was it that you didn't like it very much initially?
Oh, it was just like... I think
from a creative perspective.
I think I was just like tired of the song because it's real cheesy, I guess.
Right.
It's kind of corny. I'm not the biggest 21 Pilots fan. No offense. If I offend some people, I'm sorry.
Right.
But, yeah. But I rewrote the bridge section.
And that makes it better.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, to be about Dunedin North.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So it was very
funny.
Unique. Didn't like everyone loved it. It was very, very, very pointed.
Because it felt personal to home, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, it's like an inside joke to us.
Quite
sort
literally.
Of thing.
It was
yeah.
talking about cones in everyone's yard.
Oh my god, I love it.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Smell of Griggs.
Yeah.
You know, you're okay. But actually, Casey, you bring me to like a really good like question, actually.
All right.
So you guys obviously are making music together and stuff. It means you have to agree on like a lot of things. Mm. But like personally speaking, so you can answer like one by one. What would you say is your personal music taste? One to listen and one to play, if that's different.
That's a great question.
Oh, yeah.
That's a really good question.
Thank you.
Oh,
I do try.
I guess of right now, I like listen to a lot of like jazz and funk. Sorry. And then I play a lot of like jazz and funk right now. So it's kind of like more in that kind of area.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I listen to a very big variety.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to a lot of 1950s. Music in around that era, as well as pop punk. Oh my gosh, I can't even speak English. And to be honest, I probably perform in the same.
Mm.
I love performing like punk rock and stuff like that because I love to be able to like expel the energy and like just dance around and jump around. But I also love singing my 1950s music because I also sing that as a little with Jared, who's also in the band. We also have another little group. That we sing 1950s and 40s music. So,
that's so awesome.
Yeah.
Well, yes, I actually do remember this.
Yes.
Goodness, yes. No, that's
we can
so
come
cool.
back another time.
Yes, actually. Note that down. Wink, wink. Okay, so like I'm assuming you guys like have Spotify or like other streaming platforms that you guys use.
Yeah.
I personally don't use Spotify anymore. But
we don't like Spotify.
Yeah. Actually, that's good. You're the first other person who's agreed with me on this. Like I've talked to some people and they're like, they don't really like pay attention to that sort of thing.
It's one of those things where it's a weird bystander effect, even in terms of that, like not looking behind the veil at those types of things. It's a hard transition for people for moving like a massive streaming platform like Spotify, going onto things like Tidal and stuff like that,
right.
Which support artists more and don't support bad things.
Do you want to talk about it? Do you want to give context to like anybody who doesn't know why we don't like Spotify?
I don't know enough.
Right.
I feel like it's justified. There is more than what I know.
Okay.
Like,
yeah, no, that's
like
fair.
One of the biggest things for me before was just, no, they don't support artists for the first thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they promote and use AI music for another thing.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure but cannot confirm there are some things that they support which I don't support. I can't quote that off the top of my head.
I stopped using Spotify a while back when I found out that they were... I think it was a CEO who was investing into AI drones, are you know going to wartime and stuff like that. Sorry, this is suddenly such a shift in the topic, but like
a big thing for music that we're trying to push away from these platforms.
Exactly.
It is actually really big in our industry right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's actually really scary when you talk about AI because it really does like cover everything,
mm-hmm.
and it's a really big threat to 100%. The music industry as well. But it's a hard transition for people to move something that they know and love. They get scared.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard to push, but also you know, people need to do it in their own time and feel justified. And
is that sort of thing where it's like you go to your comfort restaurant and like you order the same thing when you know you probably should try something, but like today's just not the day. But one day you will.
Yeah.
It just takes some time.
At least if you're doing it, you're still doing it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If it's better than not.
Gradual change is better than being stagnant. Yeah, exactly, exactly. But before we got onto that, what I was going to ask, no, this is perfect. I love talking about stuff like this. But I didn't brief you guys about that. So I just sort of, because it's such a sensitive topic. I know some people don't like talking about, you know, issues like these, especially when you're being recorded, because you might say something that you like aren't familiar with and, you know, might be misquoted or it might be used against you, whatever, whatever. Like, totally, I understand. Yeah. But my question was going to be, like, what type of person are you? Do you guys have, like, specific playlists for specific, like, days or moods or times in your life? Or are you the type to just like a song and then hit shuffle?
Yeah, it's me.
Me too.
Have you looked at my streams, like, the music I listen to? It's, like, a good 95% at the moment, Paramore. I go through phases of my favourites.
Mm.
Yeah, it's like not specific to things, but just like in the time of my life. Like right now, I'm on my Paramore vibe, or I'll be on my Elvis vibe. Or I'll be in my vibe.
Yeah. I'm in my Michael Jackson vibe right now.
Yeah, I was in it just before.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's sick.
I was trying to play it everywhere. Everyone was like, "Just stop."
I think before I stopped using Spotify, like, you know, they do the Spotify Wrapped.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was like my like top listened to artist like a few times.
I was always getting in like the top like 0-something%. I was like, look at me go.
Look at us go. And what about you, Casey? Like, do you have a particular artist that you're listening to at the moment?
I listen to a lot of artists. There's like this funk band from Edinburgh called High Fade. They're a really cool band. They're like real funky, you know. I've been listening to them for a while. They're pretty cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have a favorite song from them?
The song called Burnt Toast and Coffee. It's quite, it's really fast paced, but it's really cool.
Burnt Toast and Coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds like a 3 a.m. sort of vibe. Yeah.
I like that.
Or like after a really bad day.
Or Greg's.
Greg's, yeah.
You make your own music, Megan. How do you tend to approach the songwriting process? Because I know a lot of people do it in, like, different ways.
Yeah, I would say we as a band, approach it in two different ways.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on who's bringing something to the table.
Mm.
Right.
So, for example, at the moment, Casey has brought some instrumentation to the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which he's done and developed at home.
Yeah.
And then we will workshop that as a band.
Okay.
So we'll play that, we'll listen to it. At the moment, we're just going to be listening to it at home, and then we'll come together and say, okay, I've got my idea. Will this work? Yeah, there's no.
Oh, so it's like
someone else will play it.
Like a presentation sort of thing.
In a
show
sense. Yeah, it's a show. Yeah. That's a good way to put it, That tends to be how we genuinely, I think you can agree to disagree there, Casey. And then I think on the other end also, I might write lyrics and bring them in.
Yeah.
And then they're like, this is my melody. Can anyone think of what they could play with this? Unfortunately, I'm not very musically minded in terms of chords and stuff. It comes with my hearing loss and not being able to hear music per se.
But that's where we can figure that part out too. So
that's where the teamwork comes in.
Teamwork. Yeah.
I'll get back to you on that, actually, because that's what I was going to go into a bit later. But Casey, so you brought in a piece for the rest of the band to work with.
Yeah.
How did you come up with that?
I was just like, I like sometimes sit in my room for hours with the guitar and I just tinker on something and I'll come up with like this riff. And like
talented.
D major thing. I'll just come up with these random little lick. I'm like, oh, that's a funky kind of cool lick. I like that. And then I don't know, just like it just develops, and then I just get super carried away, and then like parts of the song would just come into these things. So recently, I've been quite creative and able to come up with some random stuff, and then I'll probably listen to a lot of like other songs, and then there'll be like a bridge section that I heard. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. I want to kind of take that idea, maybe, because it's like get influenced.
Right,
so,
interesting. Do you guys ever like kind of like jigsaw puzzle? You like have like bits and pieces different ends?
Oh, yeah.
It can be like that.
There has been multiple times, even with Game Of, our very first original song, which was a bit of an interesting song decision. Anyway, we did tend to, like, we'll play something and then realize, actually, that's better as a bridge.
Yeah.
Or let's actually save that. Doesn't work with this song. We'll keep it in mind and use it for the song. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, and essentially, that's kind of how your current things come about, because we've got a song called Radaway.
Which I came up with that progression, I think. Yeah, again.
And
yeah.
He came up with that progression, and then I wrote the lyrics based off Fallout New Vegas. I'm a massive, massive Fallout nerd. So I wrote the song, it's based on Fallout. But Casey wasn't a major fan of it and wanted to rewrite it.
Right.
But in doing so, actually created something that I thought was could have been entirely new. So, and essentially, it became like a weird little stepping stone. I was like, actually, instead of rewriting it, let's write something else, because what you've just done sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Please build off that. It's cool.
Yeah.
You've got to grab things when they're there. Exactly. You know? Otherwise, ideas disappear.
Yeah.
I feel you so much on that one. Okay, this might sound a little bit unrelated, but bear with me. So I'm not musically talented at all, but like I do like to write in my free time.
That's cool.
And this was something I was like really embarrassed as a kid, but maybe because now that I've grown older, I've just like shed all the shame. I don't know. It's probably a bad thing, actually. So now I'm like unafraid to admit that I read fan fiction and consume fan fiction so much.
It's fantastic.
Thank you.
It's a rabbit hole.
There are both good and bad, but I think that's part of the journey.
Absolutely.
But like sometimes I would like, you know, read something and I'm like, oh my God, that's such a good spin-off idea. And then I'd get a spin-off off of that spin-off that's so far away from the source material that I'm like, wait a minute, this is just tweak a few little things and it's just a completely new thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe, yes, it's still like, I don't know, like a magic system or it's still a high school, but
that's how music evolves too. It's
exactly
the same. It's a template, right? Everything becomes a bit of a formula and it's just how you piece them together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's so cool. I just really love, I think, just like creative processes in general.
Yeah.
And no matter in like what field you're in, there's still that like link of, I don't know, like this invisible buzz of like creativity of like, where can I use this? And you get inspiration from the most random places.
Oh, yeah. I have like hundreds of voice memos, which I do not want to listen to because some of them are bad. But I'll just be in a really weird situation. I'm like, oh, I've got this. Oh, okay, let's record this. Or I'll be walking through the botanical gardens and then all of a sudden I'm inspired by the way the trees are moving and the sounds
that's
so they're
cool.
making. Or I'll be, you know, walking down the street at night and people are yelling and they're doing and lights are flashing and all of a sudden you've got an idea. Just got to get down.
Yeah. Actually, that's something I found. Like, if you have an idea, you have to write it down immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'd wake up from a dream, and the dream's so wild that I'm like,
oh, yeah.
I don't know what this is, but let me just write it down. And then I wake up the next morning, what the heck is a zombie in a cup? Like,
yeah. Sounds intriguing.
But, Casey, what is the most, like, random place that you've been inspired by? Or, like, random thing?
Sometimes at work, I'll be washing dishes and then, like, I'll just, like, the way, I guess sometimes, like, a certain drum beat or some, like, rhythm will pop in my head because I usually just turn my brain off to, like, just, like, not think
automatic
about anything. Yeah, and then I just think of something or, you know, if I go for, like, a walk or something as well, just random times will pop in my head. I'll be walking somewhere random and just something pop in my head and then, like, when I'll be working on that, I'll be like, oh, what was that idea? You know, and then I'll try to remember that.
Oh,
yeah.
Sick. Have you guys seen Phineas and Ferb?
Yeah.
Remember that thing at the library where they're just like stamping books and they're like shifting?
Yeah.
And then suddenly
a
beat.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
It's like that, isn't it?
It's like kind of, yeah.
Pardon me, would your name be Swampy? Ex-drummer for the band Love Handle?
That, my friend, was a past life. The name's Sherman. Why asking?
Because they're reforming for one night only. It's a celebration of our parents' anniversary.
Well, that sounds charming, boys, but I haven't played drums since the accident. Fell asleep in a metronome factory. When I awoke, I'd completely lost my sense of rhythm. I've been hanging out here ever since.
So you're saying that you don't have rhythm? But listen what you're doing right there. With that stamp and a book, you got a real nice hook. Sounds to me like you got rhythm to spare.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I've got as much rhythm as that chair. What happened to me was a tragedy, but I don't have to be a millionaire. Look, I got a sweet deal going on here. I got all the books that I can read. All these sweet old ladies in this carpet from the 80s, what mocha the librarian needs. Besides, I ain't got rhythm. No, I ain't got rhythm. Said I ain't got rhythm. I ain't got rhythm.
You're kidding me, right? You're kidding me. Don't you see what you were doing right then? That's a wicked groove you were starting to move. Mister, you got rhythm times 10.
I think perhaps that you're not listening. I find it tedious to repeat. It's no big crime, I just can't keep time. I'm telling you, I lost the beat. I don't need my face on t-shirts or hit a power chord guitar. They were screaming my name, I guess it's a shame, but I don't need to be a rock star. Besides, I ain't got rhythm. No, I ain't got rhythm. Said I ain't got rhythm.
Seems like they all agree, but you're laying down so funky syncope. But you got that beat. Look at them, they're stomping their feet. It's time for you to rock a brand new generation.
Gonna rock a brand new generation. Because I ain't got rhythm.
Would you just go join the band?
Literally, though, that happens.
Literally,
yeah. Like, or, you know, someone will, people can talk melodically, and then all of a sudden I'm like, I'll just take what they've just said.
Yeah.
And just all of a sudden this random little hook comes through. It's kind of cool.
And then usually sometimes people saying something cool, I try to usually play that. Like the melody on the guitar, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of a cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's also another way.
Jam sessions do that quite a lot.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, if you're not playing anything in particular, someone will start a beat somewhere, everyone else will join in.
Yeah. And then
all of a sudden, if it continues to loop, I'll figure out the melody and just start like humming and scatting over the top. And like, yeah, just figure things out.
So it's like improv.
Essentially, yeah, it is improv.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I'm just so impressed. I'm like, because like I know how to do like improv like in an acting sense, but like in a music sense, it's like there's so many layers. Like I don't know
if you simplify it though, if you close your eyes and listen to your favorite piece of music, your body just kind of moves, right?
Mm-hmm.
We do the same thing, but just with our instruments, because our instruments are natural to us.
Yeah.
Dancing is natural to most people, so we just feel it and just.
Just let it rip.
Oh, yeah. It might be easier said than done for us, but still, you know what I mean? Like, it's natural for us.
Okay, no, that's good. That's really cool. So, Megan, I wanted to bring attention to what you mentioned earlier on, because I just realized anyone listening to this would have no context, because that was in the first recording before the fire alarm.
Oh,
but you mentioned that you would, you know, when it comes to, like, helping, you wouldn't be able to help with the music aspect because you wouldn't be able to hear it. Could you expand more on that?
Yeah, that was probably a bad way of putting it too. Whoopsies.
You're good.
Because, yeah, so I'm deaf. I wear bilateral hearing aids and have my whole life. I also have degenerative hearing loss, so there is a high chance that I could completely lose my hearing. I really struggle. So what I hear through my hearing aids versus what I would hear during out of my like natural hearing is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, what's the best way to put it? I can't hear chords in my head. I can't hear, if someone said play a G, I wouldn't have a clue. Someone said sing a G, wouldn't have a clue.
Right.
But I can match pitch. So if Casey was to play a note, I can match it.
Oh,
but I can't
okay.
tell you what that note is.
Mm. Right.
I've tried, but I just have never been able to have that connection. And I've learned, you know, through lots of my audiologist appointments that is something that can happen. The disconnect between the ear and the brain, not being able to recognize that, becomes a little bit of a processing disorder as well in that. So, yeah, I really struggle. I always feel really guilty too, because I feel like I can't contribute enough. When those happen, I always feel really, really bad. They have assured me multiple times it's okay, but I still feel very, very bad. But yeah,
it's the imposter syndrome.
Yeah. But like I try and do my best as a lyricist, and I can come up with melodies by myself. I just can't tell you what key that's in. but I do think I do not too bad as a lyricist.
No, I'm doing pretty good. I can't write for crap.
Wait,
so.
Sorry, I just have to interrupt. The way Casey looked at Megan was so little brother coded. I'm so sorry. It's just like arms crossed, like bro, stupid, looking insulting, but saying the nicest thing ever.
I think we've been like this. I think not long after we first met. Hey.
Yeah.
It was quite cute, actually, because I don't have any little siblings.
Oh, right.
So I am the youngest
in my family. Yeah.
Okay, two youngest. Yeah, that matches. That matches.
And I'm just a few years older than everyone in the band.
You're the oldest?
So they all became my little bubbies.
Oh, that's so cute. So I wanted to ask, like, thank you so much as well for sharing that, because I know that must be very difficult.
I always love to talk about my hearing loss and accessibility, because there is a lot of lack of that within the music scene.
Yeah.
Because they tend to put, you know, all sizes fit one type thing in terms of accessibility. And
yeah,
it's difficult to open that up, and just want to get the conversations going that, you know, not everyone's the same. Everyone who does have hearing loss, they're all going to have different experiences with that said hearing loss.
Right.
I really, really struggle. Like, when we do gigs and stuff, sometimes there will be some occasions that I can't hear anything, and all of a sudden I'm singing completely off key the whole concert and no one's told me.
Right.
Because everyone's so involved, I can't hear any different.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I love talking about it. I love to get it out there more.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on and giving me the opportunity to share your story.
Oh, thank you for having us. We're very, very grateful.
Because I guess I wanted to ask as well, like, last question before we go into break, and this, like, applies to both of you.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you guys started this band as a group together, but did you guys ever wonder, like before that, maybe when you were younger, that you wanted to do music a little bit more, and what challenges came with that?
Well, so I grew up in a musical family, so it's kind of always been, like, there, and just, like, I don't know, and, like, I did play guitar in primary school for a wee bit, and then, like, a tiny band, and then actually the guitarist in this band and I've actually been in a band, we're, like, in bands since we're in, like, high school, because, we became friends since high school.
Oh, sick.
So, like, we were in, like, a band in, like, year 9, year 10, which, yeah, yeah. So, I don't know, I've been kind of doing it for a while, so.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was a musical theatre kid. I've always been very, ironically, involved in music, even though I was very deaf, and my mum was also deaf. But my family, they've always played music. I was a massive obsessed fan with Michael Jackson and Elvis when I was very, very young, because my mum and dad played it all the time. And loved musical theatre. I loved being able to express myself. And then as I got a bit older and continued, I started to do little shows. I would literally put shows on to my parents. and my brother, my older brother, is also in a band, a heavy metal band up in Auckland.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always inspired to just, I was like, I want to do that too.
Right.
Even though, and like, I've been told most of my life I couldn't because I was deaf. But I was like, I want to do that too. I want to.
and you did it. You're
here. I did
it,
yeah. And I've always wanted to be in a band. This is my first time being in a band with these guys. And I never thought I would be able to, because I've never played with, like, live music before. I've always, like, Jared and I were actually together. So he is also a vocalist in the band, and we actually go around West Homes performing 1940s and 50s music together.
Right, that's so cute.
So I'd always had a big dream about being in a band, and quite literally this little band made my dream come true, so I was very happy.
That's so cute. That's awesome. All right, I'm going to give these guys a wee break, and we're going to be listening to Ain't It Fun by Paramore. So we'll see you guys in a wee minute.
You were what they're feeding on. So what are you gonna do when now you're one of us. Ain't it fun? Ain't it fun? Ain't it fun?
Welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed that song. I know Megan definitely did.
Sorry.
So, I apologize. I know I haven't really talked much to you, Casey, but that's there's right. one thing that I wanted to bring up. So, you were actually a 660 scholarship winner.
That's right.
Correct?
Yeah, last year.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, but for anybody who doesn't know what that is, could you explain to us what scholarship that is and how big of an honor that is?
Basically it's a scholarship where you get to live in the actual flat itself with like free rent and free power for like the whole year.
That's
and
crazy.
You get put with like three random people
and like who also won the scholarship.
Who also won the scholarship.
No, just three randos.
Yeah. And like I think they try to like kind of make like a band out of that way, because our group last year we had like a drummer and we had a singer and a keyboarder and guitarist, and then we had a guitarist and so like we all usually would jam and
that's so fun.
Yeah.
So last year we had an extra rehearsal space in that room.
Oh right, but you guys don't have that anymore.
No.
Oh that sucks. But like I'm just thinking about the free power. That's always
It was nice. It was very warm. It's very warm flat.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. And so you said this is the flat that 660
lived in. Yeah.
That's crazy. Themselves.
Yeah, well, three of the members, I think, was
the band was created in that flat.
Yeah,
was
the band was, yeah, formed, I think so. Yeah, I just know it was like three of the members. I think there was like two other ones that didn't live there, like friends, but I know like the three main guys that they lived in that flat.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Whoever owns that flat is probably like rolling in dough.
That's
like,
uni flats.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Of course. trust. But so I was just going to ask, where do you live now? But this I forgot there are mics here.
I live back with my parents. I just live near town, actually. I don't live too far away.
Right. Like, so it's pretty easy to get to rehearsals.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever had like issues with like getting places? Like, does somebody like can't drive or like?
Little bit of a time where, because not all of us have a car. Sometimes, at the moment, poor old Damien's car.
His car's broken.
It's kaput. Oh, no.
But I've been giving him rides.
Yeah. For a little time, his was out.
Yeah, mine was out.
He picked me up today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jared works at Bunnings. He has our car.
Right.
You do tend to have these moments.
You just have to switch it around.
Yeah.
You know? Switch it, you don't have to have matching socks. Like, it's
exactly.
okay. Switch it around.
Exactly.
Whatever's convenient, whatever works.
Exactly. I tend to walk to most rehearsals, just walk across campus.
Nice.
It's been okay. Yeah.
All right, so we talked about a little bit in the beginning about AI, even though it was an accidental pothole that we ran over.
Yeah.
It actually brings in a really good question, because as you say, Spotify and other streaming websites are introducing AI music and AI was that voice emulating thing where it copies artists' voice and then does their own thing, which has a whole lot of issues over rights and stuff like that. But as a local Dunedin band who I'm assuming doesn't have major funding of or a big
zero
record
funding.
Label. So you guys, I suppose, are a little bit more vulnerable to something like this.
Yeah.
How does that affect you guys in, in the music world?
I think I'll just quickly start here, because I know Casey will have definitely a different but also interesting opinion on this. Because we can't stop AI at this point, so you just have to learn how to roll with it.
Yeah,
you just have to learn how to roll with it. unfortunately, it is, you know, it's very scary. Like, it is taking a lot of our jobs. It's taken over the marketing business like crazy. It's taking over music. So it's dehumanizing the facet of music. It makes it scary to release anything, actually. I thought about this the other day. I was thinking, oh, I'd love to get our songs recorded and uploaded. And then I was like, oh, my goodness, like, when we do that, it could get stolen so quickly and used elsewhere, more so than it used to be, because AI just slops everything up.
Yeah, it's like an algorithm.
Yeah,
like
it's terrifying. It also, you tend to find now audiences as well have a level of distrust. So it's like, well, have you used AI to make that?
Yeah.
Have you? Because I know people who have literally, you know, used AI to write lyrics for their songs. I'm like, what are you doing? Please don't.
Yeah.
And like, it's really bad. Like, we've used it a couple of times purely as an example to have a look. And I'm like, you can see this is bad. Like,
right.
It's so much more genuine coming from yourself.
Yeah.
I tend to stay away from it. And if it's anything involved with music, I just don't think it's worth the risk. As soon as you start dabbling in it, you're gone, I think. Me, personally. Yeah. And I don't need it. I'm not a big fan.
That's fine. Yeah. And Casey, you have an interesting perspective,
yeah,
I hear.
Like I don't really like to use it that much either, because, you know, I study production at uni, and, like, I remember they gave us an example of a band that got AI to master the song as a final product, and I don't think it sounded very good. I think it's better when you have an actual person doing that. But I found, like, an app recently called, I can't remember the name of it, but it's like you can record, like, a really crappy version of your song, and then you can kind of, like, tell it to how you want it to sound, and, like, if you want to envision, so if you want your envision to come out, then that's, like, a real helpful way. So, like, I, like, use that, and I've, like, been kind of experimenting with what I have come up with and how it would come out and sound, and I'd be like, oh, it's quite cool, and then I can show it to the band and be like, oh, this is how I want this song particularly to sound. And then I think it's quite a useful tool. I think this is where AI comes in quite usefully.
So it's like a little bit of a mission match,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. Like, if as long as you know how to use and adapt it safely, and, like, it can be a useful tool.
Right.
It can also be a dangerous tool.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think, you know, the app that he's found, I think, is quite cool. Because it means that, you know, he's recorded something but doesn't know how to just get it that next little step, and that's done it for him.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only scary thing when you start going into apps is, like, are they taking what you've made?
The idea.
Like,
that's scary.
It's always scary because, you know, you can't always believe what they tell you, that they're not taking your information. I don't believe any of that when it comes to any apps. They're all taking your information.
Yeah. Oh, for
Even
sure.
If they say they're not, actually, they are.
This is, like, really interesting. Sorry, it's a little bit of a tangent. but I was listening to a broadcast recently, and it's, what's her name? Jeannie Patterson at the University of Melbourne Law School. And she was talking about it recently, how the use of apps has been on the rise recently, and how actually these days so many apps have been basically just, I wouldn't say stealing, like tricking you into agreeing into things that 100%. You wouldn't otherwise. So she used the example of, like, let's say you had, like, a flashlight app, and then it asks to, like, access your location.
Yeah, like,
or
why
your
do
Wi-Fi.
You need my location
Yeah, exactly.
For?
Why do you need that? It's with the way the terms and conditions work, it's that you, they, like, bundle it up with other third party like management, and then that's, so when you click agree, you're not just agreeing to that company having access, you're agreeing to this whole, like, network, and then they make money off of what you agreed on.
And it's terrifying, because I was actually thinking about that the other day. Like, if I wasn't in this kind of weird business that we are, like, in terms of music, and you have to promote yourself, you have to push yourself out there, I probably wouldn't even have a phone.
Right.
Like, I was thinking about it because, you know, one of my dreams is being in a nice little homestead and a little forest, you know, be with the fairies and harvest my own garden.
Me too. Let's be neighbors.
Like, isn't that cute? But, you know, we are quite reliant on our, like, cellular devices, and I kind of wish we weren't. Like, I don't need all that. I finally got back into reading, and I was like, I feel so much calmer, actually. I actually feel rested after reading rather than feeling like I'm still kind of,
Right. Yeah, like, I do hate how, I guess like some of the older generation would be like, oh, just put down your phone, like it's not that hard or something like that. Actually, it is difficult.
It's an addiction.
If you the phone, we're the product. Like if you put down the phone, let's say, as they say, like, and be disconnected, you won't be able to contact any of your friends. Mm-hmm. You won't be able to access your coursework and stuff like that. The way that the modern life has been set up is that you will be unlivable without a phone because you will, you know, everything is accessible from your phone. But anyway, that was a little bit of
it's relevant when it comes to everything at the end of the day.
We're running out of time, and I wanted to talk. Inform the listeners of something really, really fun that's coming up. There's a wee fundraiser, but I'll let the experts I sounded English for a second. I'll let the experts tell you guys about it. So what's going on? Do you guys have any, like, fun gigs coming up or anything?
Pretty sure we got something coming up on the 14th of August at the Crown.
Ooh, and where's the Crown?
Good question. It's by Harvey Norman, whatever that street is called.
Oh, Harvey Norman in town?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's like around, oh goodness, I don't even know. It's by,
Emerson's like Spate Spare House.
Yeah, not too far from here. Most of our listeners are high school students, so hopefully they don't know where that is either. Oh, it's like down the hill from Otago Girls. There you go.
So this is a gig for dogs. Been arranged by a beautiful human called Lucy. Or Aspen, as some people know her, so it's a fundraising gig for the low blind vision, so fundraising to help guide dogs. This amazing gig has four bands involved, and all proceeds go to that foundation. So there's us, Acacial Drift, we have Monkey Do, Hunky Dory, and One Day. It's led by these bands. We're not taking any funds from this. We're not getting paid for this. Every single ticket sold is going to these dogs.
We're very, very excited.
And that's only our third official public gig.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. It's still fresh.
It's still very fresh.
Yeah. Oh, that's insane. That reminds me, like, with your other, like, bandmates and stuff like that, like, how did they specifically, like, get into their reaction to the first gig that you guys ever did? Like, was anyone super, super nervous? Or, like, how did people, like, deal with waiting for the curtain to open kind of thing?
Well, it wasn't his first, that's for sure.
No, I was excited. It wasn't Cam's first either, so this is normal for Cam.
So both Cam and Casey in other bands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so our first gig was at Uber, so our partner at Uber. You guys went.
No, I was just excited. That's all. Yeah.
And so was it Damien's first?
I think it was Damien's first gig, but I don't know. He seemed pretty normal, eh?
Damien
just
doesn't often
like that.
Yeah, he very much is. He wears really cool shirts. Trust me.
Shirts.
Like, he wears amazing shirts.
like pun shirts or
Hawaiian like
shirts.
Oh, like really? Yeah, yeah. I think he was excited.
I think he was excited.
I know Jared was.
Jared was excited.
He was very excited because he, unfortunately, the last opportunity that he had to perform on that stage, he was sick with COVID. Last year. He was very excited. I was very nervous. I was quite literally needing to go to the toilet every 5 minutes because I was that nervous.
That's fair.
You know, there's a lot more. I love singing, but it's also very scary going up as a deaf person in a place where you can't hear anything.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, you're braver than me. I could never.
I was literally, like, shaking so hard. I was sweaty. It was really bad.
You did it.
It was really, really fun.
And there's going to be many more gigs in the future.
Hopefully, yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, so. Sure,
and there's going to be a new original piece that you guys are performing.
Yes, yes.
And the song in the break, Ain't It Fun, you guys are doing a cover on that as well.
Yes.
Is that
we'll
true?
We're performing that for the Gigs for Dogs. And we should hopefully getting
so
another pint night at Social very soon too, so keep an eye out.
Maybe another U-Bar one.
Hopefully,
yeah,
that'll
hopefully
be nice.
Yeah.
So just a reminder for those of you. That's me.
That was scary.
I turned up Instagram and there's just this. Sorry, that's my bad. But just like a wee reminder for those of you who didn't catch it, you guys will be performing at the Crown on the 14th of August, and the music will start playing from 8 p.m.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
What's the website for the tickets? Oh my goodness, I've forgotten.
Is it Under the Radar?
Possibly.
I think it's that one.
You can also find them on Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah,
so what is your Instagram?
So it's just Acacial Drift.
And how do you spell that? It's A-C-A-C-I-A-L. Drift. And there's an underscore or just one?
I think it's just
Occasional Drift. Yeah. Okay, yeah. And then Drift, you know, Drift.
So follow us. You'll check out some gig info and you'll see Damien's amazing shirts on the highlight reel too. Awesome. But I'm always posting stories of our rehearsals and stuff. Okay, so it's really fun.
Thank you guys so much for coming on to the show. Do you guys have any last minute words, promotions, or like shout outs to anybody that you want to do? Any causes that you believe in if you wanted to, you know, bring that to attention?
Well, I just want to shout out once again our band members that aren't here, Jared, Damien and Cam. They are absolute legends.
They are the best.
They literally are. Yeah. Like, that we, I wish they were all here. Like, they're such an amazing group of people and so very grateful to have them. And thank you for you.
Thank you for having
us on here. We're very grateful. As a small band, it's really hard to get momentum going in Dunedin.
Yeah,
it's really difficult.
It's we truly are family. Like, I do 100% believe that. Like, we need to look out for each other whenever, especially when it comes to the creatives. It's even smaller than what Dunedin is.
And we've got to hype each other up, and I don't think enough of that happens.
And you've got to support and go out and support your friends. Yeah.
There's a lot of animosity that comes through people, which I think is really unnecessary. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, we are just wanting to do what we love to do.
Exactly.
And for us, that's just perform. Yeah.
And it's something that I saw recently. Like, if you want to have a village around you, you have to be the villager as well.
Yeah.
So 100%. Help each other out if you want to be helped out as well.
Exactly.
But, okay, thank you guys so much for coming on to the show.
Thank you to the listeners.
As usual, please pay attention to what's going on out there. Please keep safe. Free Palestine, free Sudan. There's a lot of war, bloodshed that's going on out there at the moment. Please boycott Coca-Cola, Disney, and Starbucks, as well as McDonald's. And have a wonderful day. Thank you guys so much. Thank you all for joining me today on Thoughts and Theories. I hope you've learned something new or taken away something to think about. I hope to see you all next time. Till then, this has been Thoughts and Theories with Asha Amma Asri.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.